Good morning, and welcome to the Steel Apple Fantasy Football Podcast. You know, normally, this is where I would say, Steel Apples, when brass balls just won't do. And then I proceed to call my listeners pussies. But on this 20-year anniversary, you know who's not a pussy? You know who actually does have Steel Apples? The men and women of 9/11. You know, ordinary New Yorkers doing extraordinary things to help a total stranger. The first responders showing a courage, you know, I could only dream about. Those images from 20 years ago are seared in my brain. You know, those Americans leaping to their deaths and the brave firemen running into theirs. You know, 9/11 is my generation's Pearl Harbor. It's the JFK assassination. And since I'm a history teacher, I have to relive it every year. But I'm not complaining because it's important for future generations to gain some perspective about what a hero truly is. Because that is what 9/11 was ultimately about. Heroism and courage in the face of the unthinkable. And thank God for sports. Thank God for Mike Piazza's blast into the Shea Knight to give the Mets the win on September 21st. Thank God for George W. Bush and his perfect strike from the top of the mound to start Game 3 of the World Series. And I can't help but think that when he raised his thumb to the Yankee Stadium crowd, he was also raising another finger to those fucking cowards hiding in caves in Afghanistan. And thank God for Pat Tillman. He walked away from millions of dollars to serve his country and paid the ultimate price. Thank God for those NFL captains who charged onto the field, American flag held high, leading his team out of the tunnel. And thank God for the American flag, displayed from end zone to end zone at every NFL stadium in the days and weeks following 9/11. I love sports because of this. I love sports because of its power to inspire, its power to heal, and its power to unite. Sports also serves as a pleasant distraction in a sometimes unpleasant world. And the ultimate distraction is fantasy football. I mean, it's right there in the title. Fantasy, as in escape reality. And here at the Steel Apple, if we can distract you for 20 minutes, let you decompress, wind down, or turn off even, if we can give you some insight about your team, and most importantly, if we can make you laugh, then we've done our job. I mean, me and Dee be having these conversations anyway. I mean, that's how this whole thing started. Dee and I were laughing our asses off one day over some fantasy football ridiculous conversation, and one of us said, we should record this shit. And here we are. So this episode, episode 4, is for the 343 firefighters who stood by their lockers, put on their uniform, grabbed their helmets, and charged into a funeral pyre to tackle terrorism. Here's to you, heroes. Well, my much-needed distraction is back after being on the pup list. More like the crystal pup list, you big bastard. But after a week off, he is back. He is the dish to my walla, the hooba to my stank. The podcast just doesn't flow when he's not here. So I'm glad he's back and ready to go. But enough of the niceties. Enough of the pleasantries. Fuck you. I hope you don't win a game. How you doing, D?
I am glad to be back, and thank you very much. After my auction this year, which is the biggest day of the year for us, as you well know, I would say there's a 50-50 chance I don't win a damn game. I went in with a big, giant plan. I went in there coming at you like Sonny Weaver Jr. I wrote down Vontae Mack, stuck it in my pocket, who I was going to take, and ended up drafting the equivalent of Bo Callahan right away. End of movie, nothing up, nothing down. I ruined my whole draft right from the shoot.
You didn't remember? Nobody came to Bo Callahan's 21st birthday. You don't remember that? Come on, you shouldn't have drafted him, man. Our predictions, your predictions really came true. We had an owner who had a bunch of homer picks. We've got an owner that is from Tampa, lives in Seattle, and went to Florida State. And his roster is Dalvin Cook, DK Metcalf, and Chris Godwin. So you nailed it on the homer picks. We had someone who didn't read the room. This owner threw out Rob Gronkowski, Trevor Lawrence, and Baker Mayfield and got stuck with all three for a dollar. Okay, she didn't read the room.
When I said read the room, what I meant was don't read it in Braille.
Well, that's funny because I think she was blind drunk at the time. So, but when I told her to read the room, she immediately went and filed for divorce. And I'm not going to sign the papers, though. We had some guys overspend. One owner did only have $7 left. He still had to buy five players. We had another owner who had $17 left at the end of the auction to buy one player, when most at the end of the auction, most players are going for $2, $1, etc. So what we thought would happen happened. I'd say we're fantasy football influencers at this point, D. Wouldn't you agree?
I would definitely agree. But I tell you this, even though a lot of the things did happen that we thought were going to happen, there's a few things I thought that I wasn't quite expecting. And I guess we can probably get into that in just a second or two. I really wasn't expecting any of the quarterbacks that were out there to go for so cheap. I don't know whether that was just this year's auction or just maybe things have finally caught up and held true this year.
Yeah, interesting you say that. I said in the podcast when you were absent, you know, usually about six or seven quarterbacks get taken in the auction, get thrown out there. This year we had 11, first of all, quarterbacks get thrown out there. And you're right. You know, we had the two big guys, Mahomes and Allen, went for $25 each. But then we had a major drop off to Justin Herbert at $13. And then it got even cheaper. We had Lamar Jackson at $5, Aaron Rodgers at $5, Kyler Murray at $8, and Russell Wilson at $3, which is a huge steal to me. So I'm with you on that one. I'm surprised the way the quarterbacks went. But I forgot to tell you, I was thinking about the fantasy football influencers that we are. I would have to say we're more like under the influencers, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I assume you're sipping on the JMO as we speak. I know I got a nice cold Rolling Rock right here as we're talking. And speaking of that, draft day pissed me off, though. I had sent some people for some Rolling Rocks, and they come back, and they got cans. You know, I'm used to Rolling Rock in a bottle. I had to drink a tall boy at the draft, a Rolling Rock tall boy. I felt like I should have been in a paper bag. You know what I mean? I should have been barefoot pushing my fucking grocery cart through 7-Eleven with the three sleeping bags in it and a jug of urine. That's what I felt drinking a tall boy Rolling Rock at the draft.
Since I've been down here at the beach in Treasure Island, though, about 13 years now, man, I everything we drink is out of cans. So it's not one really big shock to me.
Yeah, I guess I'm a Rolling Rock snob.
I want to get back to something you said right there with the quarterbacks going out there. And you mentioned Herbert went for 13. And, you know, it's funny because you look around and I was looking back through some of the auction numbers were written down. Tom Brady, $1. Aaron Rodgers, $5. You know, I think Herbert was more of a case of when he came out as opposed to some of the other quarterbacks. I do think 13 was really high for Herbert. But I think somebody threw him out very early in the draft. And there were some people that slid, you know, after the tier one guys were gone. You saw a lot of value. And that was when people were hesitant on spending money. You know, you mentioned a couple guys got caught with too much money at the end, which you never want to happen. $17 left over at the end, that's just a travesty. You never want that to happen. But I just felt there was a lot of value left, especially at the quarterback position, even tight end. There was a lot of value left. What do you think?
Yeah, agreed. I agree with you with Herbert. At the time, you know, Mahomes and Allen were already bought for $25. Herbert seemed like a value at $13, but that was the first person an owner bought. So the first person you buy, usually a little bit of an inflated price. That same person bought Aaron Rodgers, which is strange to me. So now you spent $18 on two quarterbacks, two elite quarterbacks, one of which you're never going to play.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense. So you know, you got to think about that as well. But he couldn't turn down Aaron Rodgers at $5, and I don't blame him, to be honest with you. But now he's stuck. Yeah. He's going to start. He should start Aaron Rodgers every week and try to trade Herbert. That's what I would do. But that's for him to decide, not us. All right. Let's see what else. You mentioned Keenan Allen. He's on my team, and that's another situation where when he came out, he was like the, I think he was the 70th player tossed out of 80. I don't know how a top 10 receiver was overlooked so often to be tossed out for a bid. But that was what happened, and that's what happens in an auction draft. And I was looking at him crossing off names, and I thought I didn't cross off Keenan Allen. I thought for sure he'd already been tossed out.
Yep.
But he did not. Got tossed out very late, and so I got him for $3. And, you know, that's a value for a guy who's going to catch 100 balls again.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know what I mean?
You know, with that said, I know, and this is if you're looking at my lineup now in hindsight, when I was bidding on, I had McCaffrey already. DJ Moore came out, started off $2-3. I threw $4 out there, and it stalled. It went dead.
Yeah,
crickets. I tell you,
it's Sam Darnold. You know, I looked at your lineup too, and it said to me, eighth place. That's what it said to me.
That's a gift.
Okay. I mean, I have two Chargers on my team, but you know, that's Eckler and Keenan Allen. So I'm not a big fan of the running back wide receiver tandem on the same team. I love the quarterback wide receiver, the soup and salad. So I'm in the same situation as you. I think I have a little more offensive potency than DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, but you never know. Who the hell knows? Maybe they're slinging it all over the yard all game because they're going to be behind. Maybe Sam Darnold, new system. He's a stud quarterback all of a sudden. Who's to say? One other thing I want to bring up to you, D. We've got a team that has Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, and DK Metcalf. Would that ever happen in a serpentine draft?
I just would not happen. That is a strict, that's an auction. Well, first of all, he looks like a damn genius right now, and I would never throw that in the same word with rig, ever.
Correct.
But he did play very, very well. That's the homer pick for us right there. You knew that guy was going to take Dalvin Cook. You know, he probably paid a little, probably $4 or $5 extra dollars, even though I think he went for 42, 43, which is about where Dalvin Cook should have went.
I spoke to this owner, and he said he overpaid by $2 because he wanted him for 40, and he went for 42.
I was gonna say I thought he was a little overvalued from where he was, you know. But I thought McCaffrey was going to go in the mid 50s. I was caught bidding it up a little bit, which I swore I'd never do it. I did everything I said I wouldn't do this year.
We both bought quarterbacks.
Both bought quarterbacks.
That hasn't happened in 24 years.
I've ever paid the most for a player ever. And the auction, and this is the first year that's ever happened to me. I've never been the highest bidder, so to speak, ever. You know what I mean? I usually am in that $30 range. I take two or three players like some of those drafts. I like to have three solid tier one guys, and that was my plan going into it. And then I spent way too much money on McCaffrey with the auction, which goes back to what we were saying with, you know, you got to read the room, do what you got to do.
McCaffrey was going to go between 45 and 55, so I think you didn't overpay. In the grand scheme of things, but in your mind, I guess you think you did.
In my head, the way that I had my auction going, which never really pans out perfectly, as you well know, because so many things can happen. So many different people get thrown out at different times, or they don't get thrown out. And all of a sudden, you're like, you look at it like we brought him up already. Keenan Allen, you know what I mean? Absolute steal right there. Now, I mean, there's a couple guys that I felt like went for too much. I think you were the recipient of one of them. I'm not a big Austin Eckler fan, and I think he went for a little bit more than he probably should have. But was that a coincidence, or was that just where he happened to come out at in the auction when somebody threw him out?
That was pure panic. So other running backs were off the board. I didn't have a running back yet. I thought I overpaid for Davante Adams. So here I am thinking, oh God, I don't have as much money left as I thought I was going to have, blah, blah, blah. And so I wanted to get somebody. I'm hoping he's the poor man's Christian McCaffrey, if he can stay healthy. So that's what happened to me there. I panicked a little bit. I think a couple people might've read that I was panicking a little bit. I didn't play my poker face as well. So that's what happened with Eckler. One more roster. I've got Chubb, Barkley, and AJ Brown on the same team. You think that happens in a serpentine?
There's no way. Literally, you could definitely get Chubb and Barkley, but there's no way you're getting the third one. There's never coming back to you. Say you're at number nine in a straight serpentine draft. I could definitely. Barkley fell to 7, 8, 9 all day long, and Chubb to me is should have been before Barkley this year. I just, you know, with that injury and everything else, I hate Cleveland. But I am a Nick Chubb fan this year. I think he's going to do very well. He was doing very well last year. I mean, the kid's a stud, you know. But there's no way you can get that with doing just a straight serpentine draft like that. It's just not going to happen.
I agree. And I think the difference here's how I can sum up the difference between serpentine and auction. Serpentine is all about who are you going to take, and auction is about how much do you want to pay for somebody. I mean, that's the biggest difference, if you ask me.
It is the biggest difference. And the thing with the auction is, too, and this is why I love it so much. I keep repeating, coming back to it again and again. You're building your team. You're not the recipient of the lucky ping pong ball or the name drawn out of the cap that was, that's just blind luck. Auction, you're actually building your team, and there's nobody else responsible except you. It's just, that's why it's like playing the poker. You got to play the board, play the room, play the men. You know what I mean? And I think it's just a way better signature of how good you are at fantasy football rather than you got the lucky fucking ping pong ball. End of story.
I got some feedback from our fantasy our podcast listeners, and one person said, you guys nailed it. I did a serpentine draft. There was an auto drafter in there, and he ended up with the best team. That speaks volumes to me that the listener actually said that.
What's the point of doing it? You might as well just sit around and do mock drafts all day long.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not even there. I get things happen. COVID or a funeral or, you know what I mean? Things happen. You know what I mean? You can't always be there. It's never ideal. It's never perfect. But you know what I mean? To go in knowing you're going to auto draft, fun in that, man. Why are you on this podcast?
And then end up with the best team to boot. That's what pissed off this listener. He said, you guys were exactly right. The auto draft guy got the best team. There's no fun in that. There's no strategy, et cetera, et cetera.
None whatsoever. And you know who the guy's picking too. Like there's not, is this guy going to sneak through? Is he going to make a mistake?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I've seen a couple of the mock drafts and some other stuff. I saw Jonathan Taylor in one of the drafts down here, in the Serpentine draft, go for number three. I mean, that guy just wrecked the entire draft. You know what I mean? You know, I saw Najee go as high as five in one of them, which I think is ridiculous. But and I'm a huge Homer Steeler fan.
You guys are on a first name basis now because you're from Pittsburgh. You and Najee are tight. Is that it now?
Listen, that guy's the future. I haven't been this excited since we traded for Jerome Bettis with the Rams back in 1993. That's how excited I am.
How about as excited as you were when Franco Harris actually dropped the ball in the immaculate reception, but no one caught it on tape? So,
man. Wow. All
right, moving on. So our predictions about the auction came true, right? We had overspending. We had people not reading the room. We had Homer picks. But we made predictions back in podcast number one. And it's the morning of the season now. Let's run through our predictions and see if we want to stick with them. See if you want to. I'll give you an opportunity to bail on your big prediction. But first prediction, Alvin Kamara outside the top 10. You're going to stick with it. Now, they just cut Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman.
I appreciate it.
So I want to know.
I'm going to stick with both mine. I think Kamara's still going to catch probably 80 balls. I think he's going to have a truer season running wise the year that Drew Brees was out. Jameis throws downfield and half the time it's to the wrong team.
Speaking of Jameson, are you drinking a little too much? Because his name is Jameis.
I don't know why.
Are you hitting the Jameson right now?
Third time I've done that. I don't know why I do that. I call him Jameson.
Put down the Jameson and say Jameis.
So good when it hits the lips, though. It's so good.
Kamara outside the top 10.
Kamara outside top 10. I think he's right on the cusp. Here's what I think. I think Alvin Kamara is the top of the second tier, is what I think. I don't think he warrants the number three pick, is what I'm saying. Would I take him at 11, 12, 13? Yes. Would I bid more than $30 on him? Absolutely not. Is everybody in the auction going to bid more than him? What did he go for? Matter of fact, what did he go for?
He went for $39.
Almost $40. $10, $10 more than I would have paid for him. You know that, but that's just me. You know, and a lot of people, you know, 80 balls is a lot of balls to catch out of the backfield. You know, but I don't think he rushes for more than 700 yards. But I think he's the top of the tier two.
You got guys like Najee Harris who's going to challenge.
Yep.
Chubb was 10 last year, 11, I think. So he'll move in the top 10, maybe Dave Montgomery, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. All right. Speaking of Dave Montgomery, that was my big prediction. ESPN at the beginning of this, training camp or whatever, had him as the number 21 back. He moved up as preseason went on to 15. I'm going to go ahead and say he's a number 10, a top 10 back in fantasy this year. I think the Bears are going to rely on him to help Justin Fields get comfortable. Tariq Cohen is hurt, and the Bears have already said out loud in an article that they are going to increase his workload across the board. So I'm going to go David Montgomery, a top 10 fantasy finisher. All right, get on to Josh Jacobs. What do you say?
Okay, and this is the one I just through and through, mock drafts and auction and everything else. I might be the lone guy on this. I don't understand it. Everybody's so high that they brought in Kendall Drake to the Raiders. And I just don't see, everybody's just basically getting away from Josh Jacobs, where I'm still thinking this guy's a top 15 back all day long. How much did he rush for last year as a rookie?
Yeah, his rookie year was 2 years ago, and he was at 1,150 yards, and he missed three games. He had seven touchdowns. So extrapolate the three games out there, and you know he's probably at close to 1,400 yards, maybe 10 touchdowns.
Right.
You know, that's a hell of a rookie season. It was dialed back last year for whatever reason. You mentioned it in another podcast. Maybe, you know, Chucky out there, John Gruden, is worried about the Todd Gurley effect. You know, don't want to run him into the ground. He is a big bruising back. But I would tend to agree with you on that. I think, you know, he's only his third year. He's still fresh. you know, last year I'm going to think was an anomaly, and he's going to bounce back and have a pretty big year. I agree.
Yeah, I do too. I just think that kid has a ton of potential. I think the Raiders are getting better. I really do. I think they're getting better with Chucky over there. David Carr plays, he doesn't lose football games. You know what I mean? You know, I think the Raiders are getting better. I really do. I think they're getting better with Chucky.
Hey, it's hard to lose football games in the studio. Derek Carr is quarterback for the Raiders.
My bad.
David's another guy.
Jesus, can you cut that out?
I think you said Kendall Drake. It's Kenyon.
What is going on with my
team? That is, I cannot stay all of this there. Is staying in the podcast.
It's
by
not
the way.
Staying all in right. there. Get it out.
Last one. I said that Kirk Cousins is going to finish better than Jalen Hurts. I'm sticking by that. He's got two great receivers. I will not understand this. He's got two top 15 receivers. How are these guys going to be top 15 receivers? Who the fuck is throwing it to them? Kirk Cousins. I think Jalen Hurts struggles with a young receiving core, with an average running game, and just a bad Eagles team. So that's where I'm at. So those are our picks. You say Kamara outside the top 10 and Josh Jacobs inside the top 20. I say Cousins finishes better than Hurts, and Montgomery is a top 10 back. All right, last part, D. Keeping with the theme, the name of this episode is called Bringing On the Heartbreak. Here at the Steel Apple, we have an affinity for 1980s hair metal. So, D, on Monday morning, when you wake up, you're going to check out your app. You might look at the newspaper. I don't know. Who's going to be bringing on the heartbreak for you? What player out there, what top-tier player that you're never going to sit because he's just too good, is going to shit the bed on Sunday? I've got Tyreek Hill with 19.5 points, scoring 19.5. A.J. Brown with 17.4. Josh Allen projected to score 25. Dalvin Cook projected to score 22.3. And Pat Mahomes projected to score 26.4. Out of those guys, who's the bust for the weekend? You know, we all look at the average guys and, you know, trying to predict who to start, who not to start. I think fantasy football games are won with your studs, won or lost with your studs, either performing or underperforming. I don't buy into the notion that, oh, I started the wrong guy this week. I think your drafts are made with your big players, and your wins are made with your big players.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've never been a fan of you know what I mean? You know, you get a guy like Davante Adams or you know, McCaffrey or something like that. They don't come out of my lineup, no matter who the matchup is, the playup, the weather. It doesn't matter. The tier one guys, they stay in your lineup. End of story. Otherwise, you're playing to lose. You're playing to not lose, which is yeah. playing to win, so to speak.
But those guys are going to have their off weeks here and there. So at a Hill, A.J. Brown, Josh Allen, Dalvin Cook, Pat Mahomes, who's going to have the off week?
I say A.J. Brown this week. I say A.J. Okay. Brown has the off week.
Yeah, they're playing Arizona. You know, Patrick Peterson's not at corner. This is probably going to be a high-scoring game, but I got to think that Tennessee wants to get Julio involved right away, early and often.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. I think you're not going to see as many targets because Julio is there now. I still say Julio's the number one, you know, to me. But then again, you know, you can't get caught up with the name, you know what I mean, either, you know what
right.
I mean? And, you know, Tannehill has quite the, you know, he was really clicking last year with A.J. Brown. And you know what I mean? And God, Derrick Henry, so fun to watch.
But that's the other thing. He has to get his 30 carries.
He's going
to
get it.
And you're right about Tannehill. I saw a static. I don't remember it exactly. But I think since like week 17 2 years ago, he's the best fantasy quarterback out there. Or from week 7 to the week 4.
Oh,
he's the best fantasy quarterback out there. He had 7 rushing touchdowns, as many as Lamar Jackson
last year. Exactly. Which a stat that I found, I just kind of dropped my jaw a little bit. I said, "Wow, you know what I mean? He really saved a lot of teams last year that were heading into the playoffs, or you know what I mean, like if you had Ryan Tannehill, there's a solid chance that you're making if not the playoffs, but at least your championship game last year, right? I guarantee you, Ryan Tannehill was part of a lot of championships.
Yeah, and he made, you know, even if you didn't make the playoffs, you probably made a run with him at quarterback the last, you know, 4 or 5 games of the season.
Absolutely.
All right, so predictions in the books, auction in the rear view. We'll check out our values and things as the season goes on to see what players were a bargain midway through the season, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks again for listening, pussies. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Stitcher. Our podcast will be downloaded on our Twitter page, Steel Apple 12 at Steel Apple 1275. It'll be on our Facebook page, Steel Apples, and it'll be on our website, steelapples.com. But that's all for this week. We'll catch you next week. D, take us home.
Steel Apples, when brass balls just won't do. Can you dig it?